Welcome back to the Hemingwayless podcast, the podcast where we do things excellently. We're reading a bit more John Milton. Swim says the Mama Fishy has come through with some descriptions from yesterday. The Arcades poem is a song too from a masque, a form of festive courtly entertainment that flourished in the 16th and early 17th century Europe. Performed in May 1634. The piece was written to celebrate the character Alice Spencer, the Countess Dowager of Derby, during her 75th birthday. Okay, what else do we have here? Il Penseroso is a poem centering on melancholy as a stimulus for sober contemplation and inspired writing. Excuse me, I'm just having a sip of water. I hope that wasn't in like high definition. Hearing me swallowing water is probably not the best thing. For sure that melancholy will stimulate some great art in general. The title is the Italian word meaning the pensive man. It is a companion piece to L'Allegro, a poem that courts joy rather than melancholy. Okay. Well, we read the Allegro yesterday. I didn't realize that they were companion pieces, but that's my bad. All right. That's as far as we'll go today for those descriptions, but that's good. Thank you, Swim. Appreciate the effort digging out those facts. Yet again, coming through with the good. Today we've got a little set of poems by the looks of things. How many have we got? 1, 2, 3, 4, 4. Maybe we just read that little set of four. Is that a good idea? That'll probably do us for the day. The first one's called From Comus. The star that bids the shepherd fold, now the top of heaven doth hold, and the gilded car of day, and the gilt, his glowing axle doth allay in the steep Atlantic stream, and the slope sun his upward beam shoots against the dusky pole, pacing toward the other goal of his chamber in the east. Meanwhile, welcome, joy, and feast, midnight shout and revelry, tipsy dance and jollity. Braid your locks with rosy twine, dropping odours, dropping wine. Rigour now is gone to bed, and advice with scrupulous head. Strict age and sore severity, with their grave sores in slumberly. We that are of pure fire, imitate the starry choir, who, in their nightly watchful spheres, lead in swift round the months and years, the sounds and seas, with all their finny drove, now to the moon in wavering Morris move. And on the tawny sands and shelves trip the pert fairies and the dapper elves, by dimpled brook and fountain brim, the wood nymphs decked with daisies trim, their merry wakes and pastimes keep. What hath night to do with sleep? Night hath better sweets to prove. Venus now wakes and wakens love. Come, knit hands and beat the ground in a light, fantastic round. Wow, that's a good one. It's evocative. A lot of really nice words. You know, sometimes there's just certain words that you like the sound of. You like the imagery of. I like the word tawny. I like the word dimpled, dapper, daisies. Just words that feel good to say, and they're all there lined up in a row. So I feel like my taste is aligned with that poem. I like that. Number two in the set is called Echo. Sweet Echo, sweetest nymph that livest unseen within thy airy shell, by slow meanders margant green, and in the violet embroidered veil, where the love-lorn nightingale nightly to thee had sad song mourneth well. Canst thou not tell me of a gentle pair that likest thy Narcissus are? Oh, if thou have hid them in some flowery cave, tell me but where, sweet queen of Pali, daughter of the sphere, So mayst thou be translated to the skies and give resounding grace to all heaven's harmonize. Excuse me, number three, here we go, it's called Sabrina. The spirit sings. Sabrina, fair, listen where thou art sitting, under the glassy, cool, translucent wave, in twisted braids of lilies knitting. The loose train of thy amber-dropping hair, listen for dear honour's sake. Goddess of the Silver Lake, listen and save. Listen, and appear to us in name of great Oceanus, by the earth-shaking Neptune's mace, and Tethys' grave majestic pace, by hoary Nereus wrinkled look, and the Carpathian wizard's hook, by scaly Triton's winding shell, and old soothsaying Glaucus' spell, by Leucothea's lovely hands, and her son that rules the strands, by Thetis' tinsel slippers' feet, and the songs of sirens sweet, by dead Parthenope's dear tomb, and fair Ligeia's golden comb, wherewith she sits on diamond rocks, sleeking her soft alluring locks, by all the nymphs that nightly dance upon the streams with wily glance. Rise, rise, and heave thy rosy head from thy coral paven bed, and bridle in thy headlong wave till thou our summons answered have. Listen and save, by the Sabrina replies. By the rushy fringed bank, where grows the willow and the osier dank, my sliding chariot stays thick set with agate, and the azurin sheen of Turkish blue and emerald green, that in the channels strays, whilst from off the waters fleet, thus I see my printless feet over the cow's lips, velvet head that bends not as I tread. Gentle swain, at thy request, I am here. Poets are really obsessed with cowslip, aren't they? Poem number four. The spirit epiloguizes. To the ocean now I fly, and those happy climes that lie where day never shuts his eye, up in the broad fields of the sky, there I suck the liquid air, all amidst the gardens fair of Hesperus and his daughters three, that sing about the golden tree. Along the crisped shades and bowers, revels and spruce and jocund spring, the graces and the rosy-bosomed towers thither all their bounties bring, that their eternal summer dwells, and west winds with musky wing about the cedar and alleys fling. Nard and cassia balmy smells, iris there with humid bough, water and odorous banks that blow, flowers of more mingled hue than her purfled scarf can shew. And drenches with Elysian dew, list mortals, if your ears be true, beds of hyacinth and roses, where young Adonis oft reposes, waxing well of his deep wound, in slumber soft and on the ground, sadly sits the Assyrian queen, but far above in spangled sheen, celestial Cupid, her famed son advanced, holds his dear psyche sweet entranced, after her wandering labours long, till free consent the gods among make her his eternal bride, and from her fair unspotted side two blissful twins are to be born, youth and joy, so Jove have sworn. But now my task is smoothly done, I can fly or I can run quickly to the green earth's end, where the bowed welkin slow doth bend, and from thence can soar as soon to the corners of the moon. Mortals that would follow me love virtue, she alone is free. She can teach ye how to climb higher than the spherish chime, or if the virtue feeble were, heaven itself would stoop to her. All right, that's it for today. tomorrow's next poem is quite long, so I'll stop you. Thanks yet again for listening. I'll see you tomorrow.